This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Let's get it cracking. Monday, 3 o'clock, standing tall. Seat Williams feeling good in the house. Ari's got the wheels of steel. Marcus of Vern, he's on a trip. Road trip. He's out of town for a minute. We'll get him back either tomorrow or perhaps next week. Meanwhile, plenty to get to today. Pardon me, coming up about 10, 12 minutes from now, we're taking you out to New York. Ed Graney of the Review Journal, he is there at the 10th game coming up here for the Golden Knights. G-Knights taking on the New York Islanders, and tomorrow they get the Rangers. Then, of course, I guess what, 2 days later, they get Boston. So they are loaded with a road trip, six-game road trip coming up before they get back home. So we'll see what we can do as far as giveaways when we get them back. Perhaps we'll do some Shriners Children's Hospital tomorrow and maybe on Wednesday. Bottom of the hour, Joe Theismann's going to join us, talk a little NFL, and he'll be in town tomorrow. We'll give you the location and why and the what and where, all that coming up as well. Then the final go-round. So dope, lighters down. Nah, no 420 today. We'll get back at you come tomorrow. What a weekend. The World Series is, you can't get any better. Some people, I've had a couple of people around the building ask me, man, did you like that game last night? Yeah. I thought it was a little much. A little much what? A little too much action? What? You have the under or something? You have the Dodgers? Now, when you get a game like that, you appreciate what you can see. Competitive game goes 11 innings. Listen, every game's been pretty compelling. Game one, you had the duel, right? The second game was the best playoff game I've ever seen in my life. Astros come back and do the job in game three at home. Then in game four, Dodgers run away with it late. Game five, Astros say, no, we're not leaving here and going back there having to win one of the two. You're going to have to sweep us. Or winning both, rather. You're going to have to sweep us. So here we go. As you know, on Mondays, we get it done. Rocking the NFL. All right, let's get you started. Take you to Buffalo. We got to do the Vegas Raiders each and every show. Well, Derek Carr picked twice in this ball game, and was citing for DeSean McCoy. He took this one in for a touchdown.
Offset eye formation to the left side, double tight ends, the snap. And Tyron hands it off to Shady. He's in the clear. He's going to score. 25-20, 10-5. McCoy wasting time into the end zone. The kneel down, and that'll do it. The countdown is on. The teams rush out towards midfield. The Buffalo Bills send the Oakland Raiders packing. They're not going home either. Oakland goes to Sarasota, Florida for a week. Then they play the Dolphins a week from tonight. The Bills have a quick turnaround with a game Thursday against the Jets.
Obviously, the Bills radio network, those dudes were happy, huh? 34-14, your final. Bills 5-2, pressing the New England Patriots. Raiders drop to 3-5. Let's go to New York, the Big Apple, the Jets, Falcons. The Dirty Birds had to really flap their wings to get this one. They relied on their defense, okay, and they basically outscored their opponents in the second half 12-3. Matty Ice with a pair of TDs, this one to Sanu.
Jets bring four. Ryan up in the pocket. Matt with time. Now going to look, throw, and it's caught. Sanu on the back line. Touchdown, Atlanta. Snap to McCown. Atlanta trying to get there. Across the middle, Seferian Jenkins caught it. He got hammered. 10, 9, 8. The hit made by Neal. Five, four, three, two, and the ball gets spiked. Rolstad's crew. Is it called a fumble? Out of there comes Jared with it.
Big Grady's got it.
Yep.
He's headed to the house with it, too.
Jared wants to go to the locker room. There's a flag down. Atlanta says it's there. Now they're going to send Jared into the end zone down to our left just to make sure.
False start on the offense. That penalty 10-second
runoff.
A 10-second runoff.
Yes.
Therefore, the ball game
See
is over.
Over. Thank you.
See you.
Falcons win. They go to 4-3. They beat the Jets 25-20.
That's it. 4-3, 25-20. Jets fall to 3-5. But I will say this about the J-E-T-S, Jets. They don't quit. All right? And they fight. And they fight. They're supposed to be tanking. No, they're not. NFL players and teams generally don't tank. The Jets aren't tanking. They're just not that good. But they do have a lot of fight in them. Let's go up to Detroit. Motown, baby. Steelers visiting. Both teams needing a victory here, and more so the Lions than the Steelers. Roethlisberger, well, he found his midnight bike rider.
Steelers are leading 13-12, late stages, third quarter, with a 3rd and 9 at their own 2. Ben in the shotgun stands in his end zone with 2 protectors. He's back. He waits. He fires down the field, and it's caught on a dead run. That is Juju Smith-Schuster. Foot race, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10. Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. 98 yards. Ben Roethlisberger to the rookie Juju.
Juju, baby. Nice. Yeah. Juju Smith getting it done. Getting it done. Juju Smith. 20-15, your final score. Steelers 6-2. Lions 3-4. Lions now 2 back of Minnesota. Think about that. Minnesota's got that lead and a grip right now on that division. I'm surprised because they really don't have a stable quarterback to speak of, but they have one of the best defenses in all of football. Let's go back to Foxborough. The Patriots had already lost 2 games at home, but going into this ball game, Phillip Rivers was 0-6 against Tom Brady. Brady pitched for 333 yards, and closing out the first half, he found Gronk.
The 1st and goal to go from the 2. Out of the I formation to our left. Gillislee behind Devlin. Hollister motions left right. Brady with a play fake to Gillislee. Stands in the pocket, throws it left. Gronk all alone. Touchdown, Patriots. Patriots layer the end zone with defenders. Snap to Rivers. Stands in. Throws it toward the goal line. Yeah. Intercepted near side. And taking a knee for the Patriots with a game-sealing interception. Jonathan Jones made a great play when the Patriots broke a 7-all tie with a safety. And he comes away with a football in his hands on the last gasp by Rivers and the Chargers. Who again today put forth a valiant effort, only to fall by the narrowest of margins. The Patriots prevail here in Foxborough by the 21-13 score.
Pats go to 6-2. Chargers 3-5. Remember, they started 0-4, had 1-2 straight. Well, actually 3 straight. This one right here. Rivers 0-7 versus Tom Brady. Terrific Tom, just still getting it done. Redskins and Cowboys doing battle back in the nation's capital. This one very important for both teams as well. Who's going to end up being the team going over 500? Well, the Cowboys in this ball game had Ezekiel Elliott for 2 TDs. He had 33 rips for 150 yards. Here's one of them.
Hand off Elliott, pushing on the right side. He'll walk it in. Touchdown, Cowboys. Elliott's 2nd of the game for the 2nd week in a row. What a huge win for Dallas. Washington played so gamely, and Dallas was fortunate that they played hard enough to get 3 takeaways and then made a couple of big plays themselves, especially on defense. Cowboys win in Washington today, 33-19.
That was it, 33-19, your final score. The Cowboys ended up being the team that goes to 4-3. The Redskins dropped to 3-4. Big game. Once you're playing your arch rivals inside the division, couldn't get it done. The Skins back home. Cowboys Radio Network. And finally, the game of the day up in Seattle. You talk about putting it together. Both quarterbacks, Watson and Wilson, tossed for over 400 yards. Both Wilson and Watson had the game of their careers. But in the end, It was Wilson who had a couple of touchdown passes to Jimmy Graham. Give a listen.
Two tight ends and a fullback in. Make it three tight ends with Eddie Lacy, and Russell's going to roll. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks! Jimmy Graham! Everybody on the planet thought the Seahawks were going to run, and Russell rolls out right and finds Graham in the back of the end zone for six, and the Seahawks take the lead. Clock is ticking, 33-32. Russell gets the offense to the line. Is he going to slam it down, or is he going to make a play? He takes the snap. He's going to look downfield. He's going to throw. Jimmy Graham! Touchdown, Seahawks! Jimmy Graham on a shot right down the middle of the field. Are you kidding me? Holy catfish, what a play. What a drive. An 18-yard play. And the 12s are going nuts. And the Seahawks are going to leave a winner. And I'm telling you what, this is as great a football game and comeback as I have seen out of this team in such a long time. What a football game. And today's final score, the Seahawks 41, the Texans 38.
And there you have it, rocking the NFL, game on. Whew. That, of course, was the Seahawks radio network, 41-38, that final score. Texans roll to 3-4. I should say drop to 3-4, and the Seahawks are the ones that roll. They are now 5-2. And Watson, you talk about already wrapping up the rookie of the year in the NFL. He's something else. He was something special when he was at Clemson, going twice to the championship game against Alabama. Came up short the first year, final year, got it done, and here he is now in the NFL being baptized, and he came out of the water pretty well. Let's take you to the phone lines now. He's back in New York. We'll check on the weather and all the other good stuff back there right here and now from the Review Journal and also the press box on ESPN. Ed Graney, what's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, how are you doing?
Doing okay. Now, where are you at right now?
We're at the Barclays Center. Vegas Golden Knights begin their road trip tonight against the Islanders. So I'm here with Steve Karp and Adam Hill. We just got to the arena a little while ago. About 4 o'clock your time, they'll drop the puck and they'll start the long road trip.
How about that? I mean, the boys are 8-1. They end up getting a shutout of 7-0 against the Avalanche on Friday. I mean, they beat not only that, they beat the Blackhawks, they beat the Blues. You name it. I mean, they've beaten everyone just about. Swept the Coyotes, beat them there in overtime, came here and beat them. And now they are on a road trip, a 6-game road trip. How difficult will this be tonight? And I know, I understand they're down, what, to their, I believe, their second or third goalie here. What's the status of their goalie and all the other players?
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury didn't make the trip, so you know he's probably out for the next 6 games. And then, you know, they've been very careful about any information on his concussion. And he's had 3 or 4 in his career, so I think they're taking it really, really careful with him. So we haven't got much information other than he's not on the trip. That means the bulk of the play will likely be Oscar Danks, the guy who, you know, is shutout, gets the shutout against Colorado, beats the Blues, beats the Blackhawks. I mean, this kid is, you know, there's no way he ever expected to be in the NHL this year. And all of a sudden, he's a starting goalie for the night. So, you know, Subban's out with the injury, so they're down to goalies 3-4. And, you know, look, this is going to be different, Steve. It's not home ice anymore. And although they, you know, they played, you know, they got outplayed in Dallas, but won, and then they were able to win in Arizona. So they've had a few road games, but I think this is different. East Coast, different time for your body clock and everything. So we'll really see what they're made of on this trip, because they go here, Rangers tomorrow night, to back to back. In Boston on Thursday, we'll be there, and then they head into Canada. So you know, at the end of this road trip, I think we'll know a little more about them than we already know.
The goalie Dansk, 32 saves in a game against the Avalanche. Now, tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he was a guy who was supposed to be in the minors this year. I mean, he's a young kid who there's no way. I mean, after that first game, when Subban got hurt and he was stressed in there and then won in overtime, I mean, you should have seen the kid afterwards, like, you know, deer in the headlights. He stood up and he did a great job, but no one would have assumed that he'd bounce back and beat Chicago and then obviously the shutout of Colorado. So, but he's getting an opportunity, and he's making the most of it, like most of these guys. You know, everything's kind of been positive other than, you know, Vadim Chippy. That's not a good scene for them right now. They've suspended him without pay, and I think ultimately they'll probably try to terminate his contract because he refuses to report to the AHL in Chicago. And I think George McPhee's done a really, really good job, and, you know, 95% of what he's done have been hits in terms of who he drafted and how they're playing. But this was a big miss. They gave this guy a 2-year deal for $9 million out of Russia. and now they're probably going to cut him and terminate the contract. So that's a miss, but, you know, if you do enough of it, you're going to get hits and misses, and I think McPhee is he's been hitting a lot more than he's been missing, obviously, given they're 8-1.
Yeah, I wonder about that because you mentioned two-year contract, $9 million. I know, like basketball, like baseball, contracts in the NHL are guaranteed. What about this? If you terminate his contract, do you have to buy him out, or can you just not pay him anymore?
No. Well, they're going to have to pay him the $2 million signing bonus. That's done. But you can terminate the rest, and then obviously his agent would try to probably sue and get it to you. But, look, I mean, they have a great leg to stand on. He, you know, he went to Chicago. He wouldn't report the first time, stayed in Vegas and worked out, so they put him on the big club. Now they send him down again. He gets there, and he leaves before the first game. So, you know, look, if you can't trade him, I'd terminate him. And what's his excuse going to be? It's welcome to American sports. I mean, if you're not good enough, they send you down. It's, you can't just not show up and then expect to get paid. So I think they have a great, you know, reason to, if they want to terminate him. I think they're going to try to trade him. But, you know this. Look, if I'm a GM in the NHL right now, and I think he can help me a lot, like really a lot, which is probably not true, given I don't think the Knights would have sent him down if he could, then I might take him. But if I don't think this guy can help me, why would I want this guy if he's a bad apple who can't accept, you know, when he gets sent down? I don't want that kind of big trouble. So my guess is ultimately he'll end up back in Russia in that league. But whether he'll get the Golden Knight and Bill Foley's money is a completely different question because I wouldn't pay the guy. I mean, he's being insubordinate. He refuses to report to AAA.
That's amazing. Ed Greeny's on the line. He's back in the Barclays Center in New York where the Vegas G Knights dropped the puck coming up at 4 o'clock our time, or somewhere around that time, against the New York Islanders. Now, center Oscar Lindberg, he was talking, I believe, to yourself or either beat writer Steve Karp with the RJ, and he was asked about the way things are going, the progression of the team. And he kind of said, hey, listen, pump the brakes. We're taking it one game at a time. Smart way to go, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I think it's been great. Hey, look. This start, you couldn't have asked for anything better after the shooting in Vegas. Not only did they start off this way, but they responded to the city. They were the ones out there. They just started it, brand new, yet they were the athletes out there. And I'm not going to go into detail, but there's other teams in town, college and otherwise, who could have, in my mind, been out there as much as Knights and weren't. But these guys were out there meeting people, and then they start off 8-1. So they've been incredible for Las Vegas. But let's be honest, and people hate this, but at the end of the day, they're an expansion team. And everyone goes through ups and downs, and maybe we on this road trip, maybe we don't, but, you know, there's a reason, you know, expansion teams usually end up with the records they do. I mean, I think this team might have a chance to maybe, you know, flirt with that all-time expansion record, but still only going to be in the 30s of wins and, you know, away from the playoffs. So, you know, I think those guys understand it. The guys in the locker room have been around long enough where they understand that it's a really long season. You're playing with a minor league goalie. At the end of the day, this kid wasn't supposed to be up here. So we'll see how they respond, but they've been really good by, like you just said, not jumping the ship here and acting like this is some, you know, huge, huge thing that's just going to keep rolling along.
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's interesting you said that because I haven't heard anyone else say this. But you're right. The Vegas Golden Knights are the ones that grasped what took place on 1 October.
Yes.
They did a big, big a salute to all the people that were involved and that basically fell victim. I mean, and then they said to their players, hey, you must win this game. And there was so much pressure on the players, you must win this game. And they went out and won that ball game of that particular hockey match. But that's the only team in town that basically came forward. You are absolutely Eddie.
Yeah, they were the guys who were out with the people and going to the hospitals and meeting people. I didn't see pictures of it. Now, I might be wrong. I mean, let's preface this. I didn't see every picture. But I'm telling you, the ones that were out on the main pitchers and social media and meeting the injured and meeting those affected and holding trunk or treat Halloween the other night with people who, you know, with kids whose, you know, family's been affected, it's been all Golden Knights. So Bill Foley's team has been incredible in the community in the face of tragedy in our town. And, you know, I'd rather praise them than take shots at others. I will just say that there are other teams in town, and you and I know who I'm talking about, that I thought could have made more of a presence in that town and for these people instead of, you know, along with a bunch of hockey players who really just got there. I mean, you know, other than Derek England, who makes his home there, these guys aren't from Vegas. I mean, they are now, but they just got there and this happened. And I got to give these guys a lot of credit for stepping up how they have.
Absolutely. All right, what else can you tell us? Anyone else injured and out for the game tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights?
No, but I'm excited. Now, Shea Theodore, the kid who we thought should have been on the team all along, but he had to go down because they had a glut of defensemen. He went down to Chicago, played terrific. He was the kid's seat on Anaheim in the playoffs last year. He's a defenseman who can score. great on the power play. Now, he just got called up, so he's here, but we don't know if he's going to play or be a healthy scratch because he had to travel from Chicago. I really hope he plays. If he doesn't play, I'm sure he'll play tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. So I think a lot of people are excited to see Shea Theodore play for the first time. Other than that, they're all ready to go. And, again, you know, they're dogs, and they'll probably be dogs on most games this trip, but they've been dogs before and have come through. I'm really excited to see him play tonight because we've seen him at home. We know what they can do at home, but now you're in the East Coast. Like I said, it's a 3-hour difference. Your body might be a little different. And then tomorrow night, back-to-back, let's see how they respond back-to-back on the road. I mean, it's, you know, they did it from Dallas, Arizona. That's a little different trip than when you're in the East Coast. So, yeah, it's good here, and it's getting cold. It's getting to be a little wintry out, so feels good.
Describe the team. Power team, fast team, combo team in that sense, or what are the Vegas Golden Knights?
Well,
who are they?
I think a lot of people are surprised on who they are because I think usually with an expansion team, you're not going to be able to get the dynamic scores, you know, the great, great scores in the league. So you're going to be far more defensive-minded, get goalkeeping. That's why they took Fleury. Just kind of go 2-1 and 3-1 and hope you can win some games. This isn't to say these guys have a lot of, if any, great dynamic scores, like, you know, the great names around the league. But I think their offense and their ability to rush and their ability to score, that surprised a lot of people, I think. They're not just sitting back and saying, hey, let's hope for a 2-1 win or loss, which I think everyone thought was going to be the case because Fleury, you know, borderline Hall of Fame goalie, whether he gets in or not, I don't know, but he's a great goalie. And I think everyone thought, well, we'll just, you know, put him back there and then kind of defend and, you know, hope you don't give up a lot of goals. But the way they play now, see, they're rushing as much as anyone else and trying to score. So that's another thing I think has made it very exciting for Vegas, to see them, you know, try to be offensive and try to keep up with fast teams and score. So, yeah, they've played a different way than I think most people thought most expansion teams do. Most expansion teams will be pretty defensive because they're just not going to have, like, the dynamic goal scorers.
I'm going to say they also are playing with a chip on their shoulder. You know, we're expansion. Everyone thinks we're the little chumps. No, guess what? We can ball with you.
No question. And here's the thing. If you talk to other teams, especially, you know, the Blackhawks, I mean, we talk to those guys. Look, there's a lot of guys in that locker room with 3 Stanley Cup rings. I mean, those dudes are some of the best players in the world. And they said, no, these guys are legit. Now, you know, they said, I don't know if they're legit for the playoffs, but they're legit. They're not a team that you can just roll in and say, well, their expansion, you know, we'll win 3-1 or 4-1 and we'll get out. They said they're much better than that. You have to prepare for them. There's things they do that you have to scout, whereas most expansion teams, you know, you could probably just grind out a win because they can't score much. So, yeah, they're – and I think the Knights are like, you know what? I mean, look, James Neal, I mean, look, take Derek England. I mean, Derek England's on the north side of his career, and now he gets to play in his hometown. He doesn't have 5 or 6 years to wait to go to the playoffs. You know, some of these guys are veterans. They don't have time. They're like, no, I want to win now. Why would I want to wait? It's great if they win in 5 or 6 years, but I'm not going to be part of it. So you have a lot of chips on those shoulders who, you know, don't want to accept losing. James Neal, you know, whether he'll be here after the trade deadline, we'll have to see because they're going to get huge offers for him, I'm sure. But that guy comes off to me as a guy who, you know, he'll go after you in a game of checkers. I mean, he's a huge competitive guy. So they definitely are playing with a little chip, as you say.
Okay, I know I'm happy for you. We have the G Knights. I'm happy for myself and the whole city. But I'm happy for no one more than the Carpster, Steve Carp.
Oh, yeah.
And he's back home.
You know, he's back in his element here in New York. Oh,
boy.
Oh, yeah.
Give us an update. Okay, what has this been like, this trip with Carp? He's back home. He's got hockey. He's covering it for the RJ as the beat writer.
Yep.
And there he is looking at two of the teams that he grew up watching.
Well, and the Islanders were here tonight to watch his favorite team of all time, so I'm going to have to sit next to him, maybe hold him down a bit. But I was in Buffalo with the Raiders, so I didn't fly into New York till this morning. So he's been a few days. It's Saturday night. Carpy was able to see Springsteen on Broadway. He was very happy about that. And I'll tell you what, kid, Mr. Adam Hill and I were trying to keep up with this kid walking down 34th Street towards the train because this kid, I mean, this kid was like Zach Martin pulling for Zeke Elliott. I couldn't keep up with this kid. He put his head down seat. And he went through people to get to that train to get over here to Parkley. So the Carper is in full professional mode and ready to go tonight.
He's like Juju Smith on his found bike, right?
Oh, I'm telling you. Adam said, I don't know if we can keep up with this kid. He put the head down and we just followed, you know, we were Zeke Elliott following our lead block.
There you go. Hey, before you close out, you were in Buffalo. What a great win for the Bills now at 5-2. So also Adam Hill's got to be happy. His team beat the Raiders. What's going on with the Raiders?
Well, Adam was sitting next to me. He was actually really good. I'll give him a 98 out of 100. When they had the pick, when they had the fumble return for 6, I got a few slaps under the table, a few fists from him. He was happy. But, you know, I wrote today for the paper. I don't know what you think. Look, I think eventually, now that they're 3-5 the way they're playing, I think eventually we have to ask the question, were they ever that good? I mean, I think, and people don't like to admit it because then we're going to say, oh, we were wrong. You know, people don't like to admit when they're wrong. Say, no, they're as good as we thought. But I'll tell you what, see, other than the Kansas City game, they've really not gone vertical. You know, they're not explosive. You know, they're obviously their secondary is huge hole, so they've got to kind of bend and not break there. But Derek Carr is not playing like a guy worth $125 million right now. He's just not. Yesterday I was wondering if Washington was on his fantasy team because he kept throwing two-yard passes to him. I mean, it's like, my God, it's – so I don't know if they're as good as we thought they were, Steve. And I'll tell you what, at 3-5, they still go to Philly. They play the Patriots in Mexico City. They host the Cowboys. They go to Kansas City.
Ooh.
I mean, it's probably not in the cards at 3-5, given who they have to play.
Chargers may have a better record at the end of the year than they have. And the other thing,
well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll be at that New Year's Eve game, the final game of the season at Carson.
You going?
No matter what the records are, my friend, you and I both know there'll be more black and silver shirts in that place.
You are going. You're not going to get out. There'll be so much traffic, dude. you be careful. You sure you want to go to that one?
I'm going to stay over because the college football playoff at the Rose Bowl is the next day. So maybe I'll just kind of sleep in my seat and wake up the next morning and drive to the football game.
That might be the safest thing to do because, dude, it is going to be really tough. Hey, one other thing on Derek Carr. Do you think he's still injured?
He was, you know, Chris Matthews asked him that yesterday. He's never going to admit it. I don't know. I mean, you know, Romo had the same injury and was back in a week like he was, this transverse fracture. So it's not like it's not a huge fracture. It's not like an overly serious one. And Romo was fine. And look, here's the thing. He looked pretty damn good against Kansas City.
True.
So, you know, he looked pretty good that game, and he found Amari Cooper that game. And yesterday, I didn't know if Amari Cooper was on the field. So I don't know what's going on with those guys. And I know Buffalo's good defensively. They lead the league in turnovers. I know schematically you get different looks. I know different teams think take away. But, see, the Raiders were special last year because they won those close games. They had a little luck, and they were exciting to watch. I don't know about you, but when I watch them now and I'm at most of their games, I'm not very excited.
True. Ed Graney of the Review Journal, let the folks know what you're going to be writing in the paper coming up and also where they can find you.
I'll be with the Carper tonight, Islanders. Tomorrow night, Rangers. We go to Boston Wednesday. They're against the Bruins on Thursday night. And then Carper heads to Canada. My pulling guard heads to Canada, and I head to Miami for the Raiders-Dolphins on Sunday.
Wow, you're out all week out of Vegas, huh? Good for you.
Yeah, I'll be back next week.
All right, brother. Be safe. Enjoy.
I'm going to say hi to go. Look, just as you said this, my man Steve Carr's walking right toward me, so I'll say hello for you.
You got it, brother. You take care.
Okay, buddy.
All right, take care. Ed Graney, he's back in the Barclays Center getting it done. All right, wow. We're going to step away. We'll come back. Up next, Joe Theismann. Game on.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
Back on the streets of Vegas, 3:33 as we move along on this Monday. Coming up later tonight, of course, the Broncos and Kansas City at Arrowhead. A big game here for Denver. Most importantly, Kansas City at 5-2, Denver at 500. Right now, 3-3. They need this victory. I'll be at Twin Peaks. And over there, of course, they have the coldest draft on tap. And we'll be giving away tons of prizes. And, of course, the service, I ain't got to tell you about it. It is nice. Let's go to the phone lines now. This dude right here, he's nice, twice as nice, especially when he played back in the day. And, of course, his team with a big victory is alma mater in college football, Joe Theismann. What's up, brother?
Hello, Seat. How are you tonight?
Doing great. Before we get into what went on with the Redskins and that loss, let's talk about the win. The Fighting Irish, what the hell, man? I mean, we coming up here in about 25 minutes, we have the who's in. Man, your team better at least be in the top six.
I think they have a chance to be there. I mean, USC was ranked, I think, 13. North Carolina State was ranked 14. There was, you know, TCU took it on the chin. So, you know, I mean, I think they have a chance to move up into the rankings a little bit. I'm pretty sure they'll be close. Got another great test, Wake Forest. Wake Forest played very well this past weekend. That's coming up. So, you know, it is exciting. Our guys are playing some great football. The offense, defense, special teams, every aspect of the game is contributing. I think Coach Kelly's done a terrific job. Chip Long's done a great job as a coordinator on offense. And Mike Elko, you know, he came from Wake Forest. He spent 3 years down there as their defensive coordinator, so he should have a pretty good idea what they're going to do and what they want to do. Hopefully that'll be an edge for us. But the Irish are playing some darn good football. And, you know, they came a first down away from beating Georgia. So, you know, I think we should definitely be close to being in consideration and hopefully get there.
Hey, Joe, I love the we better. We.
Yeah, it's all we, man. It's all us and we.
Now, you saw him play recently, right?
Notre Dame? Yeah, I was out at the USC game.
Okay.
They really looked good.
And they blew the boys up.
You know, Josh Adams is unbelievable. Number 33, if anybody's counting. He's just, I mean, he had 150 yards, I think, close to 200 yards. He's averaging almost 10 yards a carry through seven games of college football.
Yeah.
7 yards a carry or eight games. It's just the numbers he's putting up are phenomenal. He's got, five runs of over 60 yards. I mean, it's been absolutely phenomenal to watch this young man work. And, you know, he's smooth, got excellent feet, great power. It's really fun to watch him do what he's doing. Certainly the kid at Penn State's, I think, a great back, but you just can't ignore what Josh is doing in Notre Dame. I mean, you can tout all the quarterbacks you want, but right. These two running backs in the country are special.
Yeah, also, you're right. Barkley's great, and also Love up at Stanford. We didn't get to see him play this Friday night because he was out with an injury. What is the big change, though, with the Fighting Irish here? I mean, it's almost like there's a new culture there.
Well, I think there is. I think when Brian sort of turned over the offensive coordinatorship, it really gave him a chance to be more involved with a lot of the players. You know, if you're a coordinator and a head coach, you've got all the head coaching responsibilities, and then you have the preparation for game preparation. And it limits your ability to be able to be in special teams meetings, to be in a defensive meeting, you know, to see the entire team versus just one segment of it. And when you have 100 kids, I think it's important that, you know, you can reach out to a lot of them and communicate with them and talk to them about their family, about their classes, about things other than football. Because really, to me, college football is more than just developing an athlete. It's developing a young man or a young woman. And so that's what Brian's been able to do. And we changed our strength coach, and everybody I talk to says it's made a world of difference. Our teams get stronger and stronger as the game goes on versus others that sort of wilt away. So there was a change there. There's a change in the coordinators. I believe he changed 6 members of the staff. So, Brian took a look at what the football team looked like, the direction they were going in, and he made some modifications to it. And credit to him for doing what he did to get Notre Dame to where it is.
So Thye's been working us here on Game On as we get you rocking on a Monday. Let's go to the game, of course, that you weren't very happy about, and that was the Cowboys and the Redskins. What was the atmosphere like? And the Cowboys getting a victory 33-19, kind of disturbing if you're a Redskins fan.
Well, you know, it was an electric kind of atmosphere. This place was rocking early on. You know, you're up 13-7. You make the field goal at 16-7. It winds up getting blocked with just a little bit of time before the half. And, you know, now you're down 14-13. It took the air out of the bubble, and the weather just got worse and worse. I mean, we really don't have any wide receiver presence. I mean, if it wasn't for Jamison Crowder and Chris Thompson, I don't know where we'd find any kind of production. Jordan Reed got hurt again. Vernon Davis, I think, has done a terrific job, you know, filling in when he has to. But, you know, Terrell Pryor is non-existent in the offense, as is Josh Doctson. They're just there's no wide receiver play, which now they and you know, 4 of the 5 guys up front were brand new. I mean, you know, you're talking about guys that go through OTAs, mini camps, training camps, and then all of a sudden now you're in the midpoint of the season, and you've got guys with 1 day of practice and no practice, and you're starting them against the Dallas Cowboys or anybody else in the National Football League, and you know the team travels to Seattle. I thought they put a yeoman's effort together, but, you know, in our business, you have starters and you have people who aren't starters. And so, you know, when you have to play, you know, starting football teams and you have to play against, you know, or with guys that haven't played much football, there's a big difference. There's a big difference in the production of it.
Terrell Pryor, you mentioned him. They picked him up from Cleveland. To me, Terrell Pryor is a stud. What is he, 6'5"? He's got everything you need. A converted quarterback from back in his days at Ohio State. One of the few guys that moved into the pros and said, you know what, I will make the transition. I can, okay, you don't want me as a quarterback in your league? I'll play wide receiver. I'll do whatever I need to do to help. Cleveland last year, he had a pretty decent year. I figured he would come to the Redskins and shine. You have any idea what might be going on there?
Well, I think the biggest problem is really the transition that he's trying to make from quarterback to wide receiver. It's not an easy transition, especially at this level. You know, when you get to this level, it's a whole different world. Just being able to go out and try and play the game. There's so many nuances that he doesn't really have the opportunity to totally understand. And that's the thing, believe me, it is not effort. The kid works his rear end off. He really does. But there's so much he doesn't know. And really, when you look at him in this offense, he's a downfield guy. In Cleveland, they really had no one else to throw the football to. But he's a downfield receiver, and that's not the routes that the Redskins run much. I mean, even when we targeted DeSean Jackson, there just wasn't a whole lot when it came to going down the field. You know, you'd take maybe a shot a game or so, and Josh Doctson is still learning how to play the position. He's a young man that, you know, he's between the two of them, they've dropped way too many footballs, and that's been a big problem. And so that, you know, when you don't have a wide receiver presence, you start bringing safeties down and saying, hey, look, we don't believe that your receivers can beat us. And in that case, it almost is proven out that way. And so it's become more and more difficult. You know, if you're a play caller and you don't have everybody available at this level, it's really, really tough to be able to do things.
Joe Theismann been working here on Game On as we roll the streets of Vegas here on a Monday. Joe, looking at the way the standings are right now with Philadelphia, actually overall now the best record in all of football at 7-1. The Redskins 3-4 with the Cowboys sandwiched in between them. It's going to be a long place to get to if they're even going to sniff the playoffs.
Well, it is. It's a tough road, but there's, you know, I mean, you have to sort of look at the wild card. But we need to get people healthy. When you look at the games that we've lost, Carson Wentz in the two games the Redskins lost to the Eagles played some terrific football. He really did. He played a lot of really good football. But, you know, two plays here, two plays there. Kansas City, you have a chance to beat them. Josh has a ball get away from him late in the game, and Alex makes a run. I mean, those three games there are one or two plays away from the Redskins having a chance to win. I know it's the what-ifs. But when you look at this football team, the what-ifs have gone against them as opposed to for them. And that's been the biggest problem.
This game was fascinating. Seattle at home against Texas. Houston, rather, the Texans. 41-38, your final score. Deshaun Watson, what do you think of this kid?
Love the kid. Absolutely love him to death. I think he's absolutely phenomenal. The game is just not too big for him at all. He's a true star in this business. And, you know, he's a playmaker. I mean, we saw it yesterday. We saw him throw the ball down the field. They've got weapons. And having the weapons gives him a chance to be able to do the things he needs to do. He's played in two championship games. I mean, it's not like the stage is too big in the NFL. I mean, you play in a college championship game in 2 years. And you play the way he's played, you know that he's ready to be able to do whatever needs to be done. And so I really, really like him a lot. I love the way he plays the game. He brings an athleticism to the position, which makes it more and more difficult to defend. And, you know, defensively, I know they're without JJ and Merciless, but, you know, they're managing to do what they need to do. You know, they really gave Seattle an opportunity to get in the game a couple times. I mean, Jimmy Graham showed up for him, which was a big thing. And, you know, Seattle's a tough place to win. We all know that. I mean, it's loud. It's, you know, you're getting to the time of year where the weather's a challenge and an issue. So by the time, you know, the Redskins get out there, hopefully they'll at least have had somebody practice a week or so for them, so they'll have a better idea what's going on.
Joe Theismann, he will be here tomorrow in town at the Red Rock. Joe, let the folks know out there exactly what you're coming in to do here at the Red Rock tomorrow about noon.
Well, I do presentations, and I'm going to be headed out to Vegas tomorrow. I have a chance to be able to do a little speaking for a company out there, and I look forward to it. It's, you know, the speeches are based upon motivation, goals and attitudes, customer service, teamwork, motivation, all the things that really you see in the world of business, but you also see them in the world of sports and in our own lives. And that's really what I've tried to do, is I've tried to craft the presentation that I have to not just one particular aspect of business or life or sports, but try and cover all different aspects of it, tell some stories, have some fun, try and get people to think. You know, like Jimmy Valvano said, you know, and I happened to be with Jimmy the night of the ESPYs, and he basically said, if you can get people to think, you can get them to laugh, and you can bring their emotions to tears, you've had a pretty darn good day. And that's basically what I try and do.
For the folks that may be interested in attending, tell them what they need to do.
Pardon?
Let's say if someone wanted to attend, what would they need to do?
Some of the meetings are closed.
Okay.
That's the thing. They're not open meetings. These are business meetings. So
I got you.
It isn't a question of being able to just attend. And that's the challenge you face. Sometimes getting to see us. Other times there'll be different types of functions where it'll be an open forum where people can come and visit. But, you know, most of the things I do are corporate events.
Yeah, because a lot of folks, a lot of listeners, hey, Joe's coming when and where. So perhaps next go-round you'll be coming in where it'll be open to the public.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll be back in Vegas, I think, more towards the end of the year. So it'll be another opportunity, and it just depends on the type of meeting. But most of the time it's corporate, and, you know, the people, it's the people that work for the company, whether it's management, whether it's CEOs, whether they're people that work in the organization, you know, it's basically for them. And then I try and customize and tailor all my presentations for the companies. I have a conference call with them, and we sit down and go through what they want to accomplish in the meetings. It's more than just walking in, standing up, and telling stories. I mean,
right.
You have to be able to, I think, try and give people a chance to learn something.
He's a brother with a different mother. Joe Theismann. Let the folks know where they can find you on social media, man.
At Theismann7, always there. Got some interesting ones after the Redskin game, but it was actually a pretty kind group of Cowboy fans this time around, I have to be honest with you.
Always good,
normally
Joe.
Normally they're not that kind, but this was sort of a kind group of Cowboy fans this time around. We went in undermanned. I mean, and I'll tell you, Ezekiel Elliott's one heck of a football player. Now, you know, you talk about the Cowboys where they are, but how much longer is he going to be able to play football?
We'll find out Friday, won't we?
Yes, we will. We'll have a better idea of if the Cowboys have him or not. He's a dynamic, quite incredible young football player.
Joe, we'll try to catch you tomorrow, my friend.
You got it, Steve. Take care.
Always a pleasure. That's my dog. That's one of my favorites every time I get him on. Joe Theismann, in town tomorrow. I was hoping it would be open to the public over at the Red Rock about noon. Don't crash it. Hey, you know better. All right, we'll talk more about the big party at Twin Peaks coming up Monday Night Football as we close things out here on Game On.
Now back to Game On, Steve Williams.
3:57 in the Valley, final go-round, brought to you by Reliable Banner, reliablebanner.com. Ah, a lot of fun. All right, who's in? Here it is. Let me give you mine, because it's coming up here. The committee's going to drop theirs. At number 6, I'm going to put Notre Dame. At number 5, I'm going to put Penn State. At number 4, I'm going to put Ohio State. Number 3, Clemson. Number 2, Georgia. Number 1, Alabama. How close I am to what the committee's going to do, who knows? And listen, down the line, I'm just going to say it. I was rooting for Penn State like crazy because Ohio State last year, they got in. They didn't deserve it, and we saw them get whacked by Clemson. And if they get in again this year, Barrett ain't all that. They're going to get whacked again. It's going to ruin the whole four. So I'm hoping somebody beats them again so they won't be in. I'm okay with Georgia. I'd love to see the independent Notre Dame get in there. Georgia, they're just there for real, perhaps all of a sudden now. Bama and Penn State, they shouldn't fall past six. Hopefully they'll be in. There you go. Huh? About to hit the highway. My way to Twin Peaks. 215 and Serene, just get off on Eastern. You get to Serene, you turn that right off the freeway. You pass Serene a block up, and you'll see it on the left-hand side. Twin Peaks, a lot of good stuff we're giving away tonight. To our special guest, Ed Graney, he's back in the Barclays Center. Joe Theismann, he's in town tomorrow over at the Red Rock. For Ari, I'm Seed Williams. Folk, Chinstuck Logard's up high. We'll see you on the radio more of the show tomorrow. That's NBC Sports Radio. Game on. Game over.